Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to a Sweet 16 installment of the podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com, the Mr. B Clothing Podcast. A little presentation today, though, by Country Landscapes, of course, our exclusive sponsor of all of our NCAA tournament coverage at CycloneFanatic.com. They've been with us through the Big 12 tournament as well, and we're heading out to New York City bright and early on Thursday morning. Iowa State's media availability, I believe, is around 2 o'clock from Madison Square Garden. Adam Gray, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here.
You excited to turn around and head back out to New York City?
Kind of. I told you that New York City scares the bejesus out of me.
Small town boy going out to the big city?
Just, you know, like San Antonio is one thing.
Yeah.
Because I can get out and just... Downtown San Antonio is really pretty non-intimidating, to be honest with you. It's kind of like it's less intimidating than Dallas, and I can handle Dallas. I handle Dallas every year, you know, for the Big 12 Media Day stuff in July. So San Antonio was cool. It was kind of like you're in old Mexico. I liked it. But you send me to New York, man, and I'm a fish out of water. I don't know how to get around on a subway. I really don't. I will get lost.
So are you just gonna do taxis the whole way?
Well, I mean, I'll try and work it out.
Yeah.
The good thing is the media hotel is right across the street from Madison Square Garden.
That's good.
So I don't really see how I could screw that up.
What about it scares you so much? Just the transportation or how many people are there? What is it about New York City that makes you uncomfortable?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much everything.
Okay.
There's nothing about it that makes me comfortable. My anxiety... When I step into that city, the second I step off that plane will be just through the roof until I get back to Iowa.
And I've seen you.
Yeah, I get worked up.
Yeah, you do.
I'm a homebody.
So did San Antonio just feel like a big Clarinda to you?
No. No. San Antonio was all right. It wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't as cool as I thought it would be. I kind of thought, I don't know why, but I thought there'd be like palm trees. And I mean, it really looked like you're in Mexico.
Yeah.
Honestly. And there's nothing wrong with it. I enjoyed it. The Riverwalk was really cool. Something I've always wanted to do. Because I've always heard Iowa fans, you know, Iowa media talk about how great the Alamo Bowl is and whatnot. So it was cool to experience that. The nightlife was awesome. The Alamo was all right. It was all right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've been there. It's been a while since I've been there.
It was a little bit of a letdown. I don't know quite what I was expecting with that, but I thought San Antonio was cool. It was a heck of a lot better than Dayton.
Quit trolling those Hawk fans.
Yeah, oh my
quit
gosh.
It.
Did you see that debacle on Twitter last week?
Oh, yeah.
So I kept... Listen, when I tweet for Iowa State fans, because those are the bulk of the people who follow me, okay? That's what the Twitter account is there for, Iowa State fans. So when I make a commentary on San Antonio being better than Dayton, I'm making the commentary suggesting that Iowa State fans are going to understand that Iowa State was in Dayton a year ago, and many of them were in Dayton, and they know how sucky it actually was.
Dayton wasn't as bad as you made it out to be.
It was terrible.
I mean, it's
awful.
Not San Antonio, but come on.
I will say this. Dayton was a lot better, I thought, as far as... And fans don't care about this, but just from my perspective, I can only give you what I experienced. From a media standpoint, Dayton was great. They bent over backwards for you. They were awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got to get that tournament there every year. And so
yeah.
they got to bend over backwards just to ensure it coming back year after year after year.
No, so they were phenomenal. San Antonio, not so much.
Okay.
But they weren't terrible. It was a good experience. I wouldn't call it a great one, though. I had this computer debacle about halfway through the trip that really screwed me up the rest of the way.
That sounded like a nightmare.
Nightmare. Iowa State wins Friday night. Iowa State wins. I go back to my hotel. I work till about 3, 4 in the morning, and everything's fine. Shut the computer down. Give her a rest for the night. I get back to the arena. It's about 11 o'clock the next day, getting ready for media availability that was coming up. I think like 1 o'clock, something like that, whatever. And the computer will not turn on. And I'm like freaking out. I have the IT guy there at the arena with me. I'm on the phone with AppleCare. Apple thinks that it is like a software deal. They're like, we need you to come in. So I'm like, oh, great. So I find this Apple store. It's like 45 minutes away. Go in there. They save all my stuff, which was key.
How do you get there? You get a taxi?
I had to taxi it. How else are you supposed
to get
there?
How much did a 45-minute taxi cost you?
It wasn't that bad, actually. It was like 30 bucks.
Wow, that seems like a steal.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. So I get there, and they're like, all right, well, we need to back everything up. That takes like 2 hours just to back everything up, to transfer everything over. From there, they clean it all out, and they put some new – they update the software because it passes this like hard drive test or whatever, okay? So they're like, all right, here you go. It's like a brand new computer. They don't charge me a dime because that Apple Genius Bar or whatever, as long as they don't have to take it in the back, they don't charge you anything if you have Apple product.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal. And I find these Iowa State fans. They give me a ride back to my hotel. I'm feeling pretty good. Crack open a beer, and I'm sitting down to catch up on all the work that I had missed previously in the day. But I'm feeling good. Computer will not start up once I get it to the hotel.
Ouch.
Yeah. Get Apple back on the phone, and I'm pissed at this point. Like, I am it's not anybody's fault, but I'm just angry. And the guy's like, oh, I think they're wrong. I think it's your hard drive. I'm like, oh, no. So then our good buddy Brandon McCauley at Channel 13 and Rob Gray, you know Rob?
I know Rob.
Yep. Yeah. They Brandon had a car because they drove down. Drives me back to Apple first thing in the morning. Then it doesn't pass their stupid hardware test or whatever, their hard drive test, and I had to get a new machine. So I spent 6 hours in the San Antonio Apple store.
Wow.
Over the weekend.
And it would have saved you a lot of time if you just would have bought one from the beginning.
I told him, I was like, I'll buy a new one. Just tell me if this thing is ruined. That's all. Yeah. And they're like, no, you don't need a new one. Just really, that put a damper on a lot of things.
But then DeAndre Kane put you back in a good mood,
man,
by finishing like the man that he is.
He got me all warm and fuzzy inside when DeAndre hit that little tearjerker.
I'll tell you what, I got so excited when he did that. I jumped for joy and swung my fist, and I hit it on top of my...
I saw you had bloody knuckles.
Bloody knuckles. They're still band-aided up. It looks like I got in a fist fight.
So do you have one of those ceilings with the, like, it's a little bit sharp, the spackle type deal? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but actually what it was is the lights were overhanging just a little bit. I mean, they come out from, like, half an inch from the ceiling, and the corner of it is what I must have caught it on. It's like plastic, and they just ripped through my knuckles. And I didn't even feel it for 5 minutes because I was just so jacked up by the fact that we just won this game. It wasn't until Roy Williams and Hoiberg kind of hugged and the players were congratulating each other that I looked down and I saw that my knuckles were bloody.
I was just waiting for the kick to the stones. I was waiting for Carolina to get like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And then hit a three.
Yeah.
I was just waiting. I honestly was not even excited when Kane hit the shot. I'm thinking to myself, dude, there's too much time left.
Been here, done this.
Even though it was like the probability of Iowa State winning that game was through the roof at that point. I was still a little bit. I think most Iowa State fans would probably admit to being that way.
You know what? I will say this. I wasn't. And
good for you.
Any other year, any other team, I would have been.
That's a good point.
This year's team, they're just never out of it. You just always expect them to win games. It's incredible. Naz Long has turned into Tyrus McGee to where every time he shoots a three, you think it's going in.
Yeah. He's a better defender than Tyrus was.
You know,
he's probably not the shooter.
No,
he just seems like it right now because he's so clutch.
He's on fire right now. I mean, I think, what is he, last
like
nine games?
50% or something.
Yeah, 50%. And so when he gets the ball and he chucks it, he's got confidence, obviously, because he's shooting that well. And you as a fan have confidence in everything he's shooting he's going to make. So at that point in time, when we came back and tied it up, when Naz hit that three with 50 seconds to go, I always thought we were going to win the game from that point on.
No, you're probably right. I think some people probably agree with that. I couldn't get Friday out of my mind just how Iowa State had won a game in the NCAA tournament by 18 points, and that locker room afterwards was downright depressing.
I bet it was.
I mean, it was as quiet as an empty church when you walked into that thing after they beat North Carolina Central.
You know, because you looked at that team and the way they were playing, and you looked at it and you said, this team can go to the Final Four, and when you're in the Final Four, Chris, you can win a national championship. Am I right?
Correct.
So when George went out, I mean, I'm sure the players were thinking to themselves too, well, shoot, there goes our season. Now, kudos to them for rallying. Kudos to Fred Hoiberg for getting them to believe again and buy in, because the effort that they put forth against North Carolina and the way they played 85 points against North Carolina without one of their best offensive players is incredible.
That's not even a good matchup either.
Terrible matchup.
Yeah.
And I read a North Carolina fan came on our website, cyclonefanatic.com, as you're listening to this podcast, obviously, and said that was one of the better defenses that North Carolina's had under Roy Williams. They didn't look like it to me when they were playing Iowa State because of what Fred Hoiberg and that offense, how they get shooters open, space the floor, and they attacked.
I'm curious to see, because UConn, I think, is similarly built to Iowa State.
Yes.
Not a lot of bigs. There's not a dominating big. I want to see what Fred comes up with this much time to prepare for that. And I don't know. Maybe it won't be anything different. I'm curious to see what he comes up with, because what you saw against North Carolina was on a day. You know, give Fred 4 days or whatever to prepare for a team that he's vaguely familiar with. Just because you play him 2 years ago, there are some players. They're different players now, much like Melvin Edgem is a very different player than
grown,
he was.
Correct.
When he's the only current Iowa State player to play against UConn in that game. But I just want to see what Fred has up his sleeve, because it seems like every time you go out there now, Fred is he's just coaching in circles around guys. I think he coached in circles around Roy Williams, but I think he out-coached Roy Williams the other night.
And how great of a feeling is that as an Iowa State fan?
Yeah.
You have a coach who's been coaching for 4 years,
yeah,
and he just out-coached a Hall of Famer who's got how many national two, three national championships?
Something like that, yeah. Which is why, I mean, and I don't want to obsess over this right now. It's why Pollard needs to open up the checkbook.
Yeah.
And he needs to write an unprecedented check to Fred Hoiberg. I don't care if it's basketball making more than football. I don't care the scenario. He needs to have an unprecedented contract for an Iowa State coach.
I completely agree. You look at the exposure we're getting, and we're getting it all because of Fred Hoiberg.
Correct.
And I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, as long as he's a coach.
Yeah, and he just has, you know, the background factor.
Yeah.
Even if he would go to a couple of NITs, people will not have the pitchforks out for Fred Hoiberg like they would a Wayne Morgan or a Greg McDermott or
pretty much any other coach.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
any other coach.
I'm not saying give him a lifetime contract, but I'm saying that this year he was the lowest paid coach in the Big 12. Now, his contract over the time isn't the lowest.
Yeah.
Understand that. But like, what was he, like 1.2, 1.3, something like that this year?
I thought it was 1.5. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I think it was at like 1.2 or 1.5, and then it works its way up to the
It ends
the
up being 20 million over
20
10
million
years.
20 million over 10. Yeah. It's back heavy. We'll disagree on that. So my point, though, is that you got to get him over 2 at the very least.
Where does he need to – does he need to rank somewhere specifically in the Big 12?
What you need is and he will. Pollard, listen, the one thing I know about him is he's always ahead of the game. So us having this conversation today, he's probably had this conversation with Fred 2 weeks ago.
Probably.
Or a month ago even, when it was, you know, visible that Iowa State's going to be a top 4 seed in the tournament. And this conversation has likely already been had. And they're not going to do it in the middle of a Sweet 16 run. But, you know, this is very valuable on multiple levels and not just your basketball team playing. Think about like recruiting at this point. Like this changes the profile of your program as far as recruiting goes. There's just so much that goes into it. And I think
agree.
He will be rewarded. My guess is Iowa State loses whenever that is. A couple days later, there's going to be a new announcement with a new contract for Fred Hoiberg. That would be my guess. Now, let me also prepare you for this, Adam.
Yep.
We're all getting ready to go to New York City.
Yes.
The NBA stuff's going to pop up later this week.
Absolutely. It's already popping up.
Well, it already is here locally, but it's going to – the New York media is going to be there.
Yes.
Because the Knicks are going to have an opening. And it's good. Hoiberg's name's going to get talked about a lot with that job. I don't know if he'd take it. I don't think it'd be a very good fit for Fred personally. Having to know Fred, I don't know how he would deal with – I mean, if you're the Knicks coach and you're 20-2, there's still going to be people complaining about you and criticizing you. And it's a whole different level, obviously, with that East Coast New York media. But for just telling you, from an Iowa State fan, it's going to get brought up a lot later on in the week. Just be prepared for it. Don't get mad about it. Just don't even read it if you don't want to. But that New York media, that's going to be a hot topic come Thursday.
That would that'd be interesting. Obviously, we're not saying that Fred Hoiberg is going to go to the Knicks or anything like that. But how do you think Fred Hoiberg, with his calm demeanor, would handle the New York media scrutiny? That would be.
I think it'd eat him up.
I agree. One reason I don't really worry about New York.
I'm not saying he couldn't handle it. What I'm saying is, you know, Fred has talked numerous times about how when he played, how sensitive he was, right? We've all read those quotes this year because he's kind of comparing himself to Matt Thomas, I think, and the struggles that Matt went through during his freshman campaign. And my thing is, if that happens to you in Iowa as a player, and I'm sure it probably does as a coach too, Fred is a sensitive guy, it's just, man, it'd be a whole new level if you're the coach of the Knicks.
It would be.
All right, let's not. I don't think people want to hear us.
No, talk about negatives right now. We've got a lot of positives.
That's not what I'm meaning to do. My whole thing is, I just, from a media standpoint, it's going to get brought up this week. So prepare yourself for that.
So going back to bumping up a salary, if you're Jane Pollard, put a price tag on it, Chris. What do you think? What would you pay him? What's he worth?
I think he should be paid. Well, I mean, you got to put things into perspective, too. It's still Iowa State.
Yes.
But the money at Iowa State is completely different than it was 10 years ago, the money argument.
So do you go from $20 million over 10 years to bump it up to 25?
You know what, Adam? I don't have a number. I don't have a specific number. I do know Fred is, his character is impeccable. He and Pollard have a great relationship. I think it's those two sit down, get an agent involved, and meet somewhere that everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
But you can't have a guy doing what he does being where he's at on the pay scale. You just can't. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I mean, make it a comfortable contract for Fred. If he still wants to have the NBA clause in it, which he does now, that's fine. He's got to be over two. Makes Iowa State look bad to have a guy with this big of results and not pay him.
Oh, I don't know if it. I don't know if it says it makes Iowa State look bad.
If you don't give him a raise now, it makes you absolutely does.
To who? Who does it look bad to?
Other coaches who potentially would come to Iowa State at some point in time.
Okay. I see.
I'm not saying like to the public. I'm saying
sure.
You want to make your job attractive, which is why Iowa State assistant football coaches' salaries have skyrocketed over the last decade.
Yeah.
Back in the McCartney years, those guys were.
What, 80,000?
Yeah, they weren't making anything at all. Chizik comes in, says, you got to pay my guys something. You know what I mean? So I just, don't take this as a negative. We're not talking about when Fred Hoiberg leaves. That's not the case at all. If a guy brings in X amount of money, which Hoiberg is obviously doing with tickets and exposure and, you know, everything that he's brought to Iowa State basketball, he needs to be rewarded for it. That's my whole point.
I completely agree with
you. You want to show prospective coaches that you are willing to pay a guy.
Pay that man's money.
And I don't think it's bad for Iowa State to say, hey, listen, we're going to really invest in basketball.
I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Iowa State has a chance to win a national championship this year in basketball.
Correct.
They will not have that in football for probably ever.
Probably
being
our
realistic.
Yep.
Iowa State will probably never win a national championship in football. That's not crazy.
I don't think any fans would argue with that logic either. I think most fans would be comfortable with Iowa State putting more money into basketball. I don't think they want to be comfortable taking it away from football.
No, because football is still right, I believe, it makes the most money.
Absolutely it does.
So I'm just saying, like, if it's a deal like, well, our basketball coach can't make more than the football, BS.
I agree.
I mean, he can when you have a guy of that stature. This is an elite coach now. Fred is to that level. I understand if you're an Iowa State and you're not an Iowa State fan listening, you go, well, guys, he's only made a Sweet 16 one. I mean, this is different. This is the way things have progressed over the last 4 years, the way he built the program up. And it's not this is not lightning in a bottle right now. I mean, DeAndre Kane and Melvin Edgem are arguably the two best players on the team. They're getting ready to graduate, but there are reinforcements coming in.
Yes.
If you think a guy like Anthony Lee from Temple, why wouldn't he come to Iowa State at this point in time?
Track record's great. It's a great track record.
Yeah.
Transfers.
It is. Matt Abdelmassi told us on the show a couple weeks ago, as long as Fred Hoiberg's here, Iowa State will have the Big 12 newcomer of the year every year. And they've got the clubhouse leader right now, and Abdul Nadir.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great quote. And, I think it probably eased a lot of Iowa State fans' minds, too, as far as what's coming up next year. He pretty much guaranteed that they're going to go out and get a couple more transfers. Did he not?
Well, that's how I took it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Good chat there on the Hoiberg deal. Is he, again, he'll be a I'm anxious to take a snapshot and put it on Twitter to Hoiberg's press conference on Thursday. I'm interested in that. Usually at the tournament, Adam, I do not go to the press conference for the coach.
Why is that?
Because I hang out in the locker room. That's where the real action happens.
Okay.
Because that's when, you know, there's not as many people around. The locker room's open. You can talk to anyone you want. It's more of a one-on-one type deal as opposed to quotes that everybody else is going to get. I usually stay away from it. I am very anxious to go to Fred Hoiberg's press conference at Madison Square Garden because it's going to be a whole different level. I mean, this isn't going to be your regional Big 12 writers. This is not going to be me and Travis Hines and Randy Peterson and Rob Gray. This is going to be...
How many media members do you think will be there?
A lot.
50?
Think about it, though. Izzo is a big deal. I fully respect that. Hoiberg is the sexy coach. Take that a few ways.
I'll take it one way.
Women will enjoy that. No, he is the sexy name going into that regional. Because Tony Bennett, I mean, I love Tony Bennett.
Fantastic coach.
Top seed.
Yep.
But when you play that style of ball, it's not as intriguing.
And Tony Bennett's been around for, what, 10, 12 years now?
Yeah. Hoiberg's coached for four.
Four, yep.
So, which I think Tony Bennett would be an idiot not to put his name into the Marquette job, by the way. Do you agree with that?
No.
Why? Give me a reason.
Stay in a better conference.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Okay.
He's from Milwaukee.
Okay.
He would own the AAU high school ranks there. Bo Ryan would be in trouble if Tony Bennett got that job. It's a private school that can pay him basically whatever he wants. You can't compare it to Hoiberg, but it's a similar. It's a guy going home in a traditionally strong basketball school. He has way better chance to sustain success at Marquette than he does at Virginia.
He does. The ACC. And there's no football there, so all they care about is basketball.
It's like Creighton, but in Milwaukee.
Yeah, but once again, I'm sorry if I'm him and I'm playing in the ACC, I want to play against the big boys. I don't want to go to Marquette where I'm playing against Creighton and
Georgetown, Villanova.
I'm sorry. Those programs aren't – it's not the same as playing North Carolina and Duke and Maryland and NC. To me, I would rather be in the ACC than that conference. But it's just me.
I'd rather know I can be a top five seed every year. He can't do that at Virginia.
Who says who?
Me.
Okay.
He won't do that at Virginia. I mean, Virginia, I'm just saying traditionally – it ain't happening there. I love Tony Bennett, too. You know that. But I'm just saying he has built-in success if he goes to Milwaukee based off of his background.
Why can't he do what Bo Ryan does at Wisconsin? Give me one good reason he can't do the same thing.
Because it's Virginia.
What was Wisconsin before Bo Ryan?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm not a historian in Wisconsin basketball. No. I'm just saying at Virginia, you're constantly dueling with North Carolina. You're constantly dueling with Duke. You're better off to go to a basketball conference where you have built-in success, recruiting ties, and you can get paid more. The private school will pay him more.
You asked me if I would. No, I would stay in.
I don't care what you would do.
Well, then why would you ask me what I would do?
I asked you what your opinion on Tony Bennett and Marquette was.
No, I mean, I think he's an idiot?
You really think I care if you would coach at Virginia or Marquette?
I think you do care. Don't act like you don't care. You care. No, I mean, would he be an idiot to take that job? No, absolutely not. But I guess it really goes back to what do you want to play in the big leagues?
I think that's like a big league conference.
I mean, Big East is still good. It's not what it was, though.
No, but it's a good league. That's a good league.
How'd they do in the NCAA tournament this year?
Oh, so you're going to, after 1 year of the
they had two good teams, and both those teams got smoked.
So you're going to kill the league after 1 year and how they do in 40 minutes of basketball in one NCAA tournament.
I don't think that league is ever going to be anything more than mediocre. I really don't.
It may not, but if you're the best team in a mediocre league every year, you're going to go to a lot of tournaments.
I don't respect those teams.
Why do you hate mid-majors? All right, what were we talking about? We got off on this Tony Bennett deal. Oh, we were talking about Hoiberg and the appeal that he is going to have coming up this weekend in New York City. No, I think it's going to be – you're going to see all the big-time outlets on the East Coast. You're talking USA Today, talking New York Times. New York Post. I saw the New York Post already did something on Abdul Massey today.
I saw that. Yeah,
it's a big story mainly because of the situation with the Knicks. If the Knicks were top of the East right now, you know, with Pat Riley, is there? It wouldn't be as big of a deal. But I'm just saying they're going to be hiring a coach.
They are. He's gone. Woodson is gone.
And I don't listen, Fanatics. I don't think Fred Hoiberg. I'm not saying that. But these people at New York, to them, all right, here's a candidate for our job, and he's going to be playing right here.
Would Izzo be one, too? You see Izzo's name being tossed around a lot right now.
Yeah. I think Izzo will go to the NBA. I think he'll retire in the NBA.
You really do?
Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Izzo leaves Michigan State this year.
That would be interesting to see how he did in the NBA, because he's been in college for so long.
Yeah, well, the college game really can grind on you as far as the recruiting and dealing with AAU coaches and all that garbage that goes along with it. So,
I think there are certain coaches that can go to the NBA, and they have built up enough of a reputation and respect from players that they can go in and get respect from the NBA guys right away. Tom Izzo, Coach K,
yeah,
those guys are it.
Like a LeBron would play for Tom Izzo.
Yeah, he'd play for Coach K.
Yeah.
As much as we all love Fred Hoiberg and think Fred Hoiberg is a phenomenal coach, I'm not quite sure if he's there yet. The only thing he's got going for him is he played in the NBA.
He's been in the front office too.
Yeah,
so
it helps.
He understands that aspect of it.
He's got more going for him than, let's say, Tim Floyd did before he left.
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would absolutely.
Let's talk about something else, though. I don't want to talk about Fred leaving.
Well, we're not talking about him leaving. We're talking about what awaits Iowa State when they get to New York.
Let's talk about that then. The UConn Huskies. Let's talk about what actually awaits the team. I don't care about what media is going to say.
Iowa State's now a 2-point favorite.
Really? So it's going up a little bit. Well, it opened at 1, right?
That makes me nervous. I wish Iowa State was a 2-point dog.
Yeah, I mean, it really is interesting that we are favored. I know we played great against North Carolina, but without Niang, I thought we'd be underdogs against North Carolina.
See,
I thought we'd be underdogs
against. I actually nailed it, pat myself on the back. When they beat UNC, some of us were talking, and I said I think Iowa State will be like a 1-2-point favorite against UConn. The reason I say that is it's the matchup.
Yeah.
It's a good matchup for Iowa State.
It's a great matchup for Iowa State. Looking at the brackets before Niang got hurt, I was hoping we would play UConn because I thought we matched up better with them. I don't know about it now. It'll be interesting to see who guards who for Iowa State. Who guards Boatwright? Who guards Napier? And then reverse, who guards Kane for us? I mean, they can't put Boatwright or Napier on him, can they? I would imagine Fred would post Kane up quite a bit.
I would guess that's going to happen as well. I'd almost put Monte Morris on Shabazz.
Okay. And then so you put Kane on Boatwright?
Yeah. Cuz my theory is Shabazz is going to score 20 no matter what. I think Monte with some help can keep him from scoring 40. I think Monte's good enough. I'm worried about you cannot have DeAndre Kane in foul trouble.
You can. That's absolutely
not. And that's why I'm a little bit hesitant to just throw him on Shabazz, because I don't want DeAndre to feel like he's got to go one-on-one with this guy.
And we've seen him do that before.
We've seen him do that before.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I completely understand what you're saying, and that's where I tend to lead. The only thing that leads me to think that Kane might get some time on him is for length purposes, because I think
he probably will. I'm not saying he won't get any. But if you're asking me for the majority of the game, I almost lean towards putting
Morris.
Monte on him.
Naz, you put Naz on him for a little bit?
That scares me.
Yeah.
Naz's defense is not what it was talked up to be earlier in the year. But, I mean, I'm saying if Monte's getting a blow or, you know, I think Naz could handle him for a two-minute stretch.
Sure.
He'll play, but Shabazz will probably play 38, 40 minutes.
Yeah, he will.
Unless he gets in foul trouble.
Well, so then you bring in a guy like Matt Thomas, who Matt, you know, probably played 10, 12 minutes in that game, I'm guessing.
10 minutes.
But who is Matt going to guard on that team? Because they have two quick guards, and then they bring in length, right?
Correct.
That's not a good guard for him.
No, it's not. It's not a good matchup for Matt. They'll use Matt in offense, you know, out of a timeout, that type of stuff.
Sure.
How they traditionally use him. It was good to see him hit that three against North Carolina. I mean, he only hit 1-3, but for him, I mean, that had to be a big weight off his shoulders just to feel like I contributed to this thing.
And then he chucked like a 30-footer later in the game, and I didn't mind because at least the kid's playing with some confidence.
Yeah.
He wants to shoot that shot.
I think he's one of those guys who, when George went down.
He knew he had to step up.
He did. They all did. I mean, that was the clear response in the locker room after that basketball game. I don't know. I mean, I would lean towards Monte, but I don't. That's a huge compliment to him, though. I think his defense, even when he was missing some of those buttings against North Carolina, he was making life hell on that backcourt.
Yeah. He always comes up with a clutch deal. Every game he has a clutch deal to get us an easy bucket. And in the NCAA tournament, you see all these teams are really struggling to score. Iowa State's one of the few teams that's scoring. Anytime you can get an easy bucket in the NCAA tournament, it's just bonus points. It really is, because it's so hard to score with just the pressure of it, a different arena than you're used to. So when Monte makes those defensive plays, it's an added bonus.
I feel like Edgem's probably due for a big game.
Yeah. I think it could be a big game for him running the court.
Yeah, I do too.
Very similar to, I mean, obviously he doesn't have Royce White's skill level, but think about what Royce White was able to do, just pushing that ball down the court against UConn back then, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I'm sorry. I think we can push it down court and just have Edgem sprint down and get a lot of easy layups and dunks.
I think Iowa State's clearly the better team on paper, I believe. When you stack up resumes, matchup for matchup, but Madison Square Garden is going to be
60%?
I was going to say 70. So we're right in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Because the ticket allotment, what is it like? Iowa State gets 1,000, I think.
1,000. It really comes out to be about 1,200.
Okay. So each school will say gets 1,200. I would assume Michigan State and Virginia will sell out their allotments.
Yes. I think Iowa State has, haven't
I
they?
I know Iowa State has.
Okay.
I don't know if Virginia will.
They'll sell it out.
I hope. For Tony's sake, I hope they do. Maybe I'm completely underestimating the Virginia.
They're once. That's not a far drive, is it? Virginia to New York?
No, they should.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should. But listen, I've watched Virginia games, and I just, there's nobody there.
That's sad. That's really sad.
But big games there are. But it's just like, I mean, maybe I'm watching it the wrong time. I watch a lot of non-conference basketball, so perhaps it got better as the AC season went.
And when their winning streak got going?
Yeah, I'm sure it probably did. Hopefully I'm underestimating Virginia fans, and hopefully that's the case, because I really do like that team. I love that program. I'm a big Tony Bennett fan. So, okay, let's say 1,200 for each of the schools is what they get.
So let's just say
the rest of it is the open market. UConn, they're going to have 70%, man.
How big is Madison Square Garden?
Let me look it up. It's
And the problem for Iowa State fans is you have to spend money for a flight.
Correct.
Hotel, and then the tickets now on StubHub are so outrageous that when you add up all three, it's just not
18,200.
Yeah, there could be. It could be bad. I would imagine there's going to
be like a road game.
2,000 Iowa State fans, they're tops.
Did you know this? That UConn has already played two games in Madison Square Garden this year.
I didn't know that.
Won both of them. They beat Boston College and they beat Indiana. Both very close games. I think they beat BC by 2, Indiana by 1.
Both those teams stank.
So they were just snoozers of games, too.
I'll tell you what. I watched UConn at the beginning of the year, and I was not impressed with them at all. Even when they were undefeated, they didn't do much for me.
Yeah, that was a game. I believe Washington was in that tournament because Coach Otzelberger was there, and I was
following him.
Yeah, I was following that tournament, and that's where I saw UConn play. I watched him play Indiana in that game. It was right before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But that's a big deal, though. I've got a story coming out tomorrow about this. I think Iowa State will be fine. Fred talked on Tuesday about just mental preparation for being in that light. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you walk into Madison Square Garden, I've never been there. I'll be there tomorrow. But I imagine it's a little bit of a humbling experience when you walk out into those lights for the first time.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
but
my point is UConn's already done this twice this year.
Yeah,
that program has played hundreds of games in that building.
And those players played it last year and the year before.
And a lot of those players are from the area.
The Big East tournament was always in Madison Square Garden, so before this year, they had always played there. Am I correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And UConn basketball, they played a lot of those tournaments, they'll play four games there. So this is nothing new to those guys. However, I do tend to think, though, when you get this far in the tournament, sure, that might be a factor leading up to the game or a couple minutes in it, but the big boys generally take over once the ball is tipped.
I think it's a bigger deal than you make it out to be.
Well, I hope that I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're right and wrong.
The fact that this is what I do, that Fred's played there, is a Chicago Bull as a Timberwolves Pacer. And he's very clear. It's very visible that he's trying to prepare his guys for certain aspects, nuances of playing basketball in that building. What he cannot prepare them for, though, are the UConn fans.
You know what we need to do? I need to stand outside Madison Square Garden before that game, and every Virginia and Michigan State fan that walks in, give them like an Iowa State like foam finger or something. Because we need those fans cheering for Iowa State.
If I'm a, they won't be. They don't want Iowa State.
You don't think they want Iowa State?
They don't want any piece of Iowa State in the Elite Eight.
So you think that they'll be cheering again? Okay.
Well, think about it.
I don't know who I'd rather
play
for those teams.
It's a terrible matchup for Virginia, whoever they get.
Yeah.
And Michigan State.
I mean, I'm hoping they just cheer for Iowa State.
Wouldn't it be hard for Michigan State fan to cheer for UConn, though?
That's what I'm saying.
Because, I mean, those are two perennial powers.
And they look at us as like the team that doesn't get there. Hey, we'll cheer, even though we're favored by 2 points, I think a lot of people still view us as an underdog in that game. Just because UConn's won it, what, 3 times in the last 15 years? Iowa State's never won it. I think you're going to get a lot of those fans who are like, I'd like to see Iowa State win this game.
I think if this is a neutral game in November, Michigan State and Virginia fans clearly cheer for the Cyclones. I think the fact that they may have to play the Cyclones, I don't think they want a piece of this team.
I'm not saying I'd blame
them.
It's
the higher seed.
Yep.
They probably. I mean, think about it. If you're Virginia, would you rather play? You got similar matchup either way. Would you rather play the 7 seed or the 3 seed? Rather play the 7 seed. Although there is the home court aspect too.
The home court aspect. The George Niang's out aspect.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It'll be interesting. It'll be really. Yeah. I'm gonna be really nice to every Virginia and Michigan State fan I see on Friday.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Why would you be mean to them?
Shut up. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. What's all right, let's just go through and
pick the
Sweet 16 real quick.
Let's do it.
My bracket, boy, those Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah.
They couldn't get there without Embiid.
They couldn't.
They just needed one more weekend.
They missed a lot of bunnies in that game.
Oh yeah. That was an unfortunate game. They should have
they really should have won that game.
Well, whatever. They didn't. Okay, let's start off Florida UCLA. Nobody's picking against Florida, are they?
No, I got Florida in that game.
Dayton Stanford.
Neither of us had either of these two teams.
I had Dayton beating Ohio State. I was pretty proud of that.
So your billion-dollar bracket was still good after
that. Yeah, I was looking good after that first like slot of games. And
I was done after Dayton.
See, I had Dayton and Harvard, which I was pretty pumped about, and then all hell broke loose later on in the round of 32. Give me Dayton because they're the hot team.
I like
the Friars.
Where's that game being played at?
I don't know. Give me a second. Why'd you have to ask me that?
I just want to know.
Boy, this Yahoo bracket's just terrible. It doesn't give where the games are being played.
I don't know why, but I think
it's out west.
Yeah, give me Stanford. If out west, yeah, give me Stanford.
I like
Sean Randall. I like.
I actually don't know that it's in the South.
Oh, it is in the South. Okay. Well, I'll still take Stanford.
All right. Sorry, Fanatics, if you're listening. I'm trying to do a podcast/look things up and hold a microphone. Okay, Virginia, Michigan State, probably Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State. Before the tournament started, was my pick to win the national championship, so I'll stick with that.
From an Iowa State perspective, root for Virginia.
Absolutely, 100% agree.
I like Iowa State over UConn barely. It's a 50-50 toss up for me.
Another nail biter. Iowa State just keeps willing themselves to victory. I like Iowa State.
Shocking that we both went with the Cyclones. Tennessee and Michigan. Give me the Wolverines.
You know what?
Tennessee, did you watch them play Iowa?
Yeah, they look terrible.
I mean, the first 35 minutes of that game were so boring.
Yeah.
I mean, neither team could hit a layup there for a while.
It was bad. And yet I'm still going to take Tennessee. I think Tennessee will
hate Michigan?
They don't have anyone inside. I'm so mad after watching Texas and their inability to get the ball down low to Ridley and those guys and make Michigan pay for not having any size. I really think Tennessee's got two guys that are massive that I think Michigan could really struggle with, and they defend well enough to slow that game down. I'll pick the upset. I'll take Tennessee.
So you have a 10 and an 11 seed in your Elite Eight. That's interesting.
Yep.
Good for you.
Who's the 11?
Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kentucky, Louisville. You like Kentucky?
I took Kentucky to go to the Elite Eight in this. I feel good about picking them to beat Wichita State in that game.
I'll flip-flop here. I'll go with you.
Yeah?
I'll take Kentucky in the upset.
Good. They beat them once already this year. Louisville really was on the ropes against Manhattan. I thought they got some Bloom ref bailout calls to win that game.
Calipari really changed my mind. This was an Elite Eight game, quote.
Yeah.
He was right.
He was.
That was two really good teams duking it out.
I respect Wichita State. I wasn't a believer in them. Even though they lost that game, I had a lot more respect for them after that game was over.
I got really sick to my stomach of all the people clowning Wichita State on the internet and stuff after that. Dude, there are a lot of teams that would have lost to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Iowa State would have beat Kentucky that day.
Kentucky was hitting big shot after big shot because Wichita State kept answering. It wasn't like Wichita State played bad.
No, it's not like they got beat by 20.
No, it was a great game. It was, you know me, when Iowa State was, I forget what game it was, but I actually paid extra. It was West Virginia or something.
Yeah.
I paid $30 more just to upgrade my DirecTV to watch the beginning of the Iowa State game. I hate missing any second Iowa State game. That Kentucky-Wichita State game was so good that I was flipping back and forth even when the Iowa State game was starting.
Dave Z and I were trying – we're covering the Iowa State game, and we had Dave's iPad watching Wichita State and Kentucky.
Yeah.
We had that rocking. That was a good time. Let's go Baylor, Wisconsin. I'm going with the Bears. I picked the Bears in the Elite Eight to start my bracket. I'm going to stick with it.
I laughed at you, but I'm jumping on the bandwagon. Zone?
Yeah, why did you laugh at me, though? And I'm not even coming at you here.
Yeah.
I just, because I've read this a few places, people who write about the Big 12 and follow, who are surprised that Baylor got out of San Antonio, and I don't understand why. They're one of the hottest teams in the country.
They are hot, but we've also seen them lose, what, 6 games in a row one point?
Yeah, we saw Kentucky struggle a lot at the end of the year. Like, what's the difference?
I think the difference is that Scott Drew going into the tournament had never beat a single-digit seed ever.
You're obsessed with Bloom's.
It's a legitimate stat.
Yeah, but what did teams 3 years ago have to do with this team?
It has to do more along the lines of Scott Drew had not shown an ability to outcoach good coaches in games.
He's coached
damn
well the last couple months.
I agree. I'm on his bandwagon now. I think he's done a great job. Wisconsin's a great offensive team, but I think Baylor's zone
that
can really
– try shooting around that.
Yeah, but you know what? Bo Ryan against that zone, Kaminsky, he's got somebody too that could –
The zone just topped the best player in the country.
I know. But besides McDermott, I don't think they had the other players around him like Wisconsin does.
I would agree with that. Wisconsin has better personnel.
I'll still take Baylor, though. That's a great game. I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm going to stick with my pick and go with the Bears.
Is that a Thursday game?
The 27th. That is a Thursday game. You'll be out in New York, right?
Yeah,
about
8 o'clock
tip.
Nice. We'll have to find the establishment to watch that.
Yeah. I'm going to be sporting my Big 12 Kool-Aid glasses that night. Okay, Arizona-San Diego State. You like San Diego State, Adam. You picked them, I believe, to go to the Final Four.
I did. I did pick them to go to the Final Four.
That's going
to
be a boring basketball
game. Yeah, it is. Both teams defend really well. I'm going to flip my pick here, though. I'll take Arizona. I think they defend better, and they have more scores. San Diego State, really, they don't score.
Very limited.
Yeah, they don't.
Xavier Thames and...
a couple guys that can... get garbage buckets, but no real go-to guys besides him.
Xavier Thames almost went to Iowa State.
How close was that?
Iowa State was down to, like, his top three.
Was that with TJ recruiting him?
Yeah, but he was an Otzelberger guy. I believe he's a Wisconsin guy to begin with. I'm not 100% sure on that. But because where did he originally go? I'm going to look Xavier Thames up real quick. I want to say he went out to Washington State, right?
Or Washington, wasn't it? He might have gone to Washington.
He was out that direction.
Is he from Utah?
I'm going to find out. Oh, California. I guess.
Washington
Grove,
State. You're right.
California. So that would make sense why he was he did go to Washington State, which would have been Tony Bennett.
Yep. Tony Bennett.
I knew there was some sort of a Wisconsin connection between Bennett, Thames, and Otzelberger.
Remember how good Washington State was when Tony Bennett was there? And now they're awful.
I honestly haven't really kept up with them other than the fact that Jordan Raley's there.
I rest my case.
He got kicked off the team, but I'm not sure.
Did he really? That's too bad.
He was suspended indefinitely at one point.
Kid couldn't stay out of trouble. Nice kid, though.
He was a nice kid. No, so Thames is a California point guard, which the connection with Iowa State would be Otzelberger's AAU background in the state of California. You're going to flop. You're going to go with Arizona.
I'll take Arizona.
Yeah, I had Arizona originally in that one. So let's go Baylor, Arizona. I'm gonna flop. I'm putting Baylor in the Final Four. Scott Drew, man, he really sold me over the weekend, man.
Yeah,
he really, and I was high on him before. This is what's scary. Some guys and I were having this conversation over beers the other night. So it's kind of like my shtick, you know, to pump Lon Kruger and Tad Boyle up because those are my guys.
Yeah, they did good the first day.
Yeah. So my theory was hopefully Freddie and Scott Drew fare a little bit better in day number two, which they did. And then somebody goes, so Scott Drew's now on your list of coaches that you want to talk up all the time? And you know what? Damn right he is. I'm a big Scott Drew guy.
There's nothing wrong flip-flopping.
No.
Yeah.
We're sports analysts. We're not politicians. We can do whatever we want. No, I really, they're the hot team. And
they obviously have the talent.
They match up well with Arizona.
They have length. Man, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a heck of a game. I'll take Arizona, and I don't feel good about it. Give me Arizona. Nothing? No commentary?
Just, no. Okay. No, it's good. Right. It's fine. I mean, I'm not going to criticize you for picking Arizona over the Bears.
Number one seed.
But yeah. I like a hot team now.
I hope you're right. I'd love to see Baylor in there.
I got a hot team right now. Kentucky versus Michigan for both of us.
I got Tennessee, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm still going to take Michigan. I had them in my initial Final Four.
I wish I could actually somehow go back and change my pick because either of these teams making the Final Four, Kentucky or Tennessee.
Tennessee can't make the Final Four, Adam.
Have you seen a play last couple
yes.
games? Yes. I know UMass and Marist. I guess that I can't give them any credit for that. They are playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah,
Tennessee, the last 10 games.
Iowa, UMass, and Mercer to get to where they're at.
Winning, have you seen where they're...
Winning is winning, though, man. They got a lot of confidence. They've won, like, what, 9 of 10 games?
They beat Mercer to get to the Sweet 16.
I know. Duke couldn't do it. Who was my Final Four pick.
Yeah.
Thanks, Duke. Just another reason to hate you.
Don't take Tennessee.
I know. I hate Kentucky, though. Hate them. But I'll take Kentucky.
That's not a bad pick. I pondered picking Kentucky to beat Michigan, to be brutally honest. Iowa State, Michigan State. This is where the clones run out of gas without Niang. Give me Niang and give me the clones in the Final Four, which I originally predicted.
Yeah.
No Niang, I can't be that big of a homer. This is where the clones run out of gas.
Still breaks my heart that we're without Niang.
Seriously. Adam, a week ago, I picked Iowa State in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And I meant that.
Yeah.
And I laid out legitimate reasons as to why it would happen. Take Niang out of the equation, this is where they run out of gas.
You've heard Fred Hoiberg say multiple times now, he had one side of his card,
yeah,
all plays for Niang, and the other side for Kane. He's lost half his card as far as plays go. Now, Fred Hoiberg's smart enough to come up with ways for Iowa State to win again, and if we get to that Elite Eight, we can win it. It's one game. I strongly believe it. But that, I agree with you, it's too much to overcome. Michigan State's got a great coach, a tradition of being there, and they can beat you inside and out. They have a lot of senior leadership. I take Michigan State. It really does break my heart, though, because after watching us play the last four games before Niang got hurt, I really thought this team could go to the Final Four, and then when you're in the Final Four, had a chance to win a national championship.
I completely agree. Hopefully we're wrong.
I literally was depressed for a full day until we played North Carolina. I was depressed.
That was the case for a lot of people.
I mean,
including the team, I think. And I think the team, too, I don't think they ever thought, we can't win now. They hate it because George is so popular.
Yeah.
He is the most beloved guy on that in that program. Everybody loves him.
And kudos to Niang, too, for how he handled that.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch the press conference. After he finds out his season's over, when he had – I mean, let's be honest. He had dreams of going to Dallas, playing at Madison Square Garden. And so the doctor just told him his season's over. And how does he handle it? With class and leadership. I mean, that guy, he said, I don't want to make this about me. We just beat a really good team. My team's still playing. It's about these guys. That's hard to do.
I mean, kudos
to him for doing it. And I don't think Iowa State beats North Carolina unless George Niang took that kind of approach to his injury.
And he addressed the team in private, too. And think, though, you get him for two more years.
Oh, man.
He's a Doug McDermott-type player when he's a senior.
He really is. And
he needs to work on his body.
And he's
George,
a winner.
Yeah. George needs to work on his body. And because that's the one thing Doug really – and he's a better shooter. Doug's a better shooter. But George, you mark my word, the kid will work his butt off in the off season from the shooting perspective, because that's what Hoiberg's telling him right now.
Yeah.
That's how you get to the league, man. You got to, you know, he has to be a better 3-point shooter, and he's already a pretty good one.
I think he needs, more than anything, he needs to work on his lower half because he needs to get more lift on his jump shot.
Correct.
Yeah. When he gets more lift, I think he'll be a better 3-point shooter, and he'll be able to get more shots off.
And he made an improvement this year. From now until next November is when he really needs to take the big step, though. I think he's to the point now, too, where he, once you become an upperclassman, you realize, man, this isn't, I'm not going to be here for the rest of my life.
Confidence is oozing out of that guy.
Correct.
I mean, he doesn't lack that. And like you hit it on the head. The only thing he lacks is just being physically able to
correct
last.
And he, you know what? I mean, he played 38 minutes against TCU this year. He did a lot of things that he couldn't have done as a freshman.
Oh, absolutely.
So he got better. He may not look like a He-Man out there, but he did get better from the conditioning standpoint, but he can still get better.
Yep.
Florida.
I'll eat crow on that, too. When he was a freshman last year, I said he's a great player, but this is kind of a ceiling. I'm wrong. He'll
get better.
Yep.
Especially think, too, and this is no slight on the guys Iowa State is losing, but if he gets a rim protector around him.
And McKay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some pieces.
I'll tell you what. George Niang's a very underrated defender.
Yeah.
He might not be able to rebound very well. He might not be blocking shots, but he's smart. He's always in where he needs to be.
He makes it difficult.
And he uses his body very well.
That's what Daniel Adozie needs. If Daniel Adozie could had that type of awareness like Niang does, he could be a major contributor defensively next year.
He's got the body for it.
And he showed signs against North Carolina. I was really impressed with Daniel's minutes.
He's been great. It's a Big 12 tournament.
Just put your arms up, big man.
Yep.
Put your arms up.
We were 10, 12, 15 minutes out of Daniel Adozie. It will go a long way.
Next year, absolutely.
Even
forget, too, that McKay cannot play the first half of the season.
Now, they're going to appeal that.
Yeah, but
any chance?
There's a chance, sure, but I don't count on it.
Sure.
It's the NCAA and Iowa State.
That's pretty stupid. He never even played a minute at Marquette. I don't know why they would not allow him to play.
I don't know.
I don't even know if he did. He even attend a practice?
Yeah, he had like four practices.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just
that'd be sad if the
don't
kid
count on it. Is my point?
Okay, I agree.
Final game. We need to wrap this up. We're pushing towards an hour.
Okay.
Florida and I have Dayton in the bleeping Elite Eight. Florida will win that game comfortably.
Yep. I have Florida-Stanford. I think Florida wins that game.
Florida, hey, Michigan State in the Final Four.
So do you think the Florida-UCLA game is really the Elite Eight game in that bracket? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. And same thing with Kentucky-Louisville?
Yes.
But no, wait, you picked Michigan to go anyway.
Yeah. No, I got Michigan. You're right.
Okay.
I got Michigan. So it's Michigan State.
Florida.
Just pick your national champion. You want Florida?
No, I take Michigan State. I'll stick with my pick.
You're going to stick with them. So I've got Baylor and Michigan. I'm putting Baylor in the title game. And
God,
Florida beats Baylor for the national championship.
Can they go NIT and then NCAA championship back-to-back years?
No. I'm just being ridiculous now. But listen, they're the hot team.
Their defense is phenomenal.
Yeah,
right now.
They're doing some crazy stuff out there.
Well, think about how good Iowa State's offense has been the last, seven games. Baylor, to start that game, had us locked down.
Yeah.
We couldn't do anything.
I don't think that Baylor is national title game worthy. Spell that out. But I think they would be a matchup hell for Michigan.
Sometimes you might not be worthy, but you could still get there.
That's my point.
Butler wasn't worthy.
I don't think that Baylor is really a title game contender. But if you're going to stack them up against Michigan in the Final Four, I'm going to take Baylor.
Yeah, I would take Baylor in that game.
But I'll have Florida beating them for the national title.
Okay. Florida, they put them like on a 30-game winning streak in the year?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive what Billy Donovan's done.
33 games right now, I think.
That's how many?
Or 28 in a row or something.
Something.
Like that.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I read
20-something.
It's kind of, I mean, it's just nuts what they're doing.
They lost to Wisconsin and UConn. UConn beat them this year.
Did they?
On a buzzer beater by Napier. Scary.
Boy, Napier, did you see that thing on the shotanalytics.com comparing Napier and Kemba Walker?
No, very
similar.
Check
it out. I put a link. This is actually a good thing to promo our Sweet 16 Central page. I've got it. And what I'm doing, I'm just updating links on the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you can keep refreshing. I put it up there earlier today. But these guys put two YouTube videos together of Kemba Walker and Shabazz Napier with that step back fadeaway. They looked like the exact same guy out there. It's crazy.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's
what scares you about UConn, because they do have that guy who is probably the best player left in the tournament, according to some people, they could be that team of destiny that makes it into the Final Four. Would not surprise me at all.
You just really, for guys like that, you just have to hope they're off.
Yeah.
Because you really can't guard them per se. They're just too quick. They can get their shot off even when they're guarded.
The Iverson type where you wonder how did he get that shot off all the time.
Yeah.
Kind of like Bryce Cotton the other night with Providence. No one was stopping that guy.
God, he was fun to watch. He was really fun to watch.
Turns out I'm glad that Iowa State didn't play Providence.
You think so?
I don't want any piece of that guy. I don't care about matchups. I don't want any piece of Bryce Cotton right now. Dude was feeling it, man.
Marcus Paige was no slouch.
No, but Marcus Paige is more to me like he's going to get his 20. He's solid.
Yeah.
But he's not the like, I'm going to blow up in your face and drop 40 on you either.
I think Marcus Paige is asked to do more than he probably should be asked to do as a player.
I would agree with that analysis. I think that's spot on. Because of what's around him, he's so mature. And
yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but I never thought watching him that he was going to be a guy to get 20, 25 a game like they need him to. No. I mean, if he doesn't score 20, 25, they don't win.
Especially as a sophomore.
Yeah. Good player, though.
All right, Adam. It's fun. When are you flying out?
6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Oh, so you're even before me.
Yeah, so my dad's leaving at 6 a.m., so I wanted to get out there similar to him. He's got a direct flight. I'm flying into Atlanta.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'll be bro. But you know, I get
how
into,
long is the connection?
It's an hour, but not bad. I get into Newark at 12:15, so I should be get on a train. I don't know how long the train will take me to get in.
See, doesn't that freak you out? The thought of having to get on a train.
No. The train part doesn't bother me. Getting.
I just remember the Pinstripe Bowl. It's me and Ash. My wife.
Yeah.
My buddy Mike Fontana and his wife Amy.
Well, you had Fontana with you. No one's messing
Big
with
Mike
you.
Fontana.
Yeah, you were good.
We got on the wrong subway at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's kind of scary.
Where we ended up, I don't even know where the heck we were.
Yeah, no, being on a subway at 2 a.m. would scare the hell out of me.
We ended up finding some nice people and they kind of helped us along the way.
Sure. You had money missing when you.
It's not very scary when you're with Big Mike Fontana.
No.
But I mean, I don't know what I'm doing out there. I mean, I am so uncomfortable in a city like that.
So the place I'm staying, a friend of mine is letting me stay at her hotel. She told me to download this app for subways. It's called this is great radio here too. I don't even have it here anymore.
Okay, well just
I'll tell you, but
Subway app. I'm sure that will be the same thing.
Yeah, and she said you plug in, you can push a button, and it tells you right where you're at, and then you put where you want to go, and it tells you exactly how to get there on your phone.
Well, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
Well. Hopefully I don't even need it. My goal is to not touch a subway. I'd rather take my chances with a cab driver than that mass transportation.
Where are you flying into?
LaGuardia?
I hear LaGuardia is the best to fly into.
Really?
That's what she said.
Why is that?
And that wasn't a joke.
You just dropped it.
That's what she's.
Said.
No, but that is what she said. I don't know. She just told me LaGuardia is the best. Newark's the second best. She said don't mess with JFK. JFK sucks. And she does a lot of traveling for her job. So.
Interesting. Well, it's good to know. All right, Adam, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks safe to travels tomorrow.
Country Landscapes for all their help sending us to the NCAA tournament. We appreciate that. CountryLandscapes.com. You can click on their banner ad. It's all over the place right now at CycloneFanatic.com. He's Adam Gray. I'm Chris Williams signing off here on our Sweet 16 podcast. Have fun, everybody.